Hello and welcome to Microsoft Virtual Academy course, How to Become a Visio 2013 Power User. This is a part two, model three, and we will talk about SharePoint, SharePoint Online, SharePoint 2013, and Visio services. In the previous model, Scott covered two of three main things that you need for a proper BI dashboard. So one of them is the data, the second is visualization technique, and the third one is the resource where you can publish and share your data and your information with the colleagues, peers, or your bosses. So welcome again, Scott.
Thank you.
What exactly would you like to show us?
That's pretty much it. We're going to take the things that we've learned so far, we're going to take the data, we're going to take the data visualizations, and we're going to move them to the cloud, either an internal cloud, SharePoint on-site, on-prem, or SharePoint Online. To give you some ideas about what that will look like, we're going to begin by talking about ways in which Visio 2013 specifically, is integrated with the cloud. And then we will put a diagram on SharePoint and then see the ways in which we can use it, principally by viewing it. So as Alex suggested, if you want to share the content, the visual content with colleagues or anyone else, great. But we'll also take a look at a very cool capability that allows someone with a web browser who's looking at your content to actually enter comments that become part of the diagram. So let's do just that. Let's start by looking at Visio and the cloud. If we take a look at a diagram that is published to the web, it might look like this. This happens to be an organization chart. Let's zoom in and notice, by the way, that I can just click and drag. This is a Visio diagram stored in SharePoint. In this specific case, it happens to be SharePoint Online, but as we've both said, it could be SharePoint on-premises as well. I can roll the mouse wheel, simply roll the mouse wheel to zoom in and zoom out. We see an organization chart that is enhanced with data and data graphics. The shapes that are shape at the top, the president, has a graphic in the upper right. The manager shapes, which are the red ones in this particular style of organization chart that I applied before putting it the diagram in SharePoint, we see the managers are red. And then the position shapes, the people who work for the various managers, are here in a greenish color. And all of them have these little four squares, and the manager shapes also have another graphic. Now, how do you know, if you're just coming across this diagram, how do you know what those graphics mean? One of the things that Visio provides is a way to automatically generate a legend. We didn't show you this in the previous modules, but it's there on the data tab. You can just click the button to generate a legend. It's that easy. I did not have to build this thing by hand. But what we now understand is that the squares represent training, annual training completed. So we can see at a glance who's doing a good job meeting their training plan, moving toward the goals of their training plan, and who is not doing a good job. And for the managers, we see quarterly performance numbers, Q1, 2, 3, and 4. So now we get a better sense of exactly what we're looking at.
And this is not just a picture, right? It's a real diagram.
That's correct. This is a Visio diagram stored, and this is live. So if I went to the data source for this diagram and made changes to the Excel data or the SharePoint list data or wherever it happens to be stored, then the graphs would move up and down, the four squares would change, just as we saw inside Visio, because this is just a Visio diagram stored in SharePoint. And let's look at how we do that, how we accomplish getting this thing here. I'm going to start with a different diagram. Let's go to Visio. Here is a process map. This is a flow diagram, swim lane diagram for inventory management and restocking, as you can see in the upper left corner. Oops, I forget whether I'm navigating in Visio or in the cloud. It's slightly different, but there we go. Inventory management and restocking. What we're going to want to do with this diagram is indeed to share it. So right now it's open in Visio, it's from my hard drive. To move it to the cloud, all I need to do is click File and Save. And you'll notice on the Save dialog, this one is already saved. Let me do Save As so I see what we need to do to move it. Notice that I can save on my computer in the current folder, My Documents MVA Part 2, Or I also have other choices. I can save it to OneDrive. I can save it to the OneDrive account associated with my Visio step-by-step books. Or I can save it to SharePoint, to either SharePoint Online or on-premises. I'm going to click Visio step-by-step. So this is my SharePoint site. I see some folders out there, but let's just browse. Let's prove that this is actually going online. And I am doing nothing other than clicking Save As. And now what I see is the contents of the Visio step-by-step team site. Click Documents, and I will see a list of folders. Here's a folder called Microsoft Virtual Academy and Part 2. And here is the diagram. There happens to be a version of it there already. I'm going to click Save and overwrite it. So simply by saving the document, I've taken this Visio document. I did not have to save it in a special format. I didn't have to do anything, no conversion, no exporting, no nothing. All I did was save it. And instead of saving it locally or on a network drive within my enterprise, it's now saved, in this case, SharePoint Online. What I do with it in Visio doesn't change. I can edit the diagram. I can do whatever I'm going to do here in the diagram with no change whatsoever. But we're talking about wanting to share diagrams with other people. So how do I become somebody else? Well, in my particular case, on this demo machine, I'm running two separate virtual machines. Everything you've seen in Module 1, Module 2, and up till now in Module 3 is a virtual machine called Scott, the one I've been operating. But if you look at the top of my screen, you'll see when I hover my cursor up there, here's the machine called Scott. I have a second virtual machine, so this is a completely different virtual machine for a colleague named Rebecca. Rebecca has Internet Explorer open. She's looking at the team website, same one in which I published my diagram moments ago. So let's click Part 2 and look at the documents and look at this. 3.1, the CFF, cross-functional flowchart, inventory restocking, was modified about a minute ago by Scott Helmers. So we're clearly, she and I are both looking at the same website. What she's going to do next is to click and open that diagram in her web browser. So this is Rebecca with no Visio. She is not using Visio. All she's doing at the moment is consuming this diagram, if you will. She's viewing it. And these are the capabilities she has when she wants to view a diagram. Just as we saw with my org chart, you can zoom in and out, but let me show you some other things that she can do as well. Let's zoom in on a portion of the diagram here and choose Check KPIs. So this is a shape. It probably has data in it. You can guess that because this whole part two of this course is about data, but we don't see it at the moment. But up in the upper left-hand corner, we find that there are a couple of buttons that allow me to do things like open this diagram in Visio. So while she's looking at it in IE right at the moment, if she wanted to open it in Visio, it's one button click away. There's a refresh button, a shape info button, and a comments button. It's the shape info button I want at the moment. A window appeared in the lower left here, and I can resize it, and I can move it around however I'd like. But the key is, there is data. If I click on Contact Store Manager, we see the data for that shape, or issue inventory issue question mark. There's a decision there with a function of Store Manager and so forth. So this is the diagram that Rebecca has access, and she also has access to the data. So there's no mystery about it. There don't happen to be any data graphics for visualizing data in this particular diagram at the moment, but you already know how to add those. If you have them invisible in Visio when you save the diagram, those diagram changes, including the data graphics, will show up right away here in her online version. Now, if they don't show up right away, there's a refresh button. I glossed over that a moment ago when we were looking in the upper left-hand corner, but let's look again, and it does say refresh, and we'll use that button in a couple of minutes to do just that.
But you mentioned and emphasized that there is a way how to command diagrams and maybe even change them if it's needed by different persons, right?
That's right. So Rebecca is now looking at this diagram, and let's take on the persona of Rebecca. Let's look at this diagram with a critical eye. So she's looking at the diagram and she scrolls down here. Let me close the shape info window. Don't need that at the moment. She scrolls down here And she looks at it and she says, you know what? There's actually a part of this process that I think needs to be expanded upon. So she's going to click on this particular shape and click on the comments button, which we looked at in the upper left corner a moment ago. When she does that, that opens a comments pane over on the right side of the screen. She's going to click new, and it has her name here as the author of this comment, and she's going to suggest to Scott, shouldn't this be a sub-process? So she's thinking, place a restocking order. It sounds like there's more to it than one box on a swim lane diagram. So shouldn't this be a sub-process? Watch what happens when I click outside the text box. You'll notice that there's a word saving and a little twirling circle there. That comment that she entered via her web browser, and I'm using IE, it could be Firefox, it could be Chrome, it could be a different style of web browser, but all she needs to do is click and she's good. She can enter that comment into the diagram. Now, to prove that point, we need to go back and become Scott again. I don't usually talk about myself in the third person, but I guess I am at the moment. So let's go become Scott again and go to his virtual machine and see what Scott sees. There is a momentary delay. It depends on whether your SharePoint servers are in-house or out in the cloud, but there will be some delay. What Scott will see is down in the bottom of the screen, in the blue status bar, there'll be a notification that appears to indicate that updates are available to this diagram. So in this case, we can't predict exactly how long. I'll just talk for another moment. It will probably appear there momentarily. But think about the business context here. We've got Scott, who's working on this diagram. We've got Rebecca, who's looking at it, making a comment. And those interactions that they want to have are now facilitated for them by Visio and SharePoint. If you have multiple people, no problem. You can have multiple people with web browsers all looking at the same diagram, and multiple people can comment. And what's actually quite nice is that the comments are multi-threaded. So if several of us are commenting about the same shape, those comments are threaded together and we will all see them in the proper sequence. So naturally, because this is live demo, we still don't quite, haven't seen that update notifier yet. Let me try to just force the issue here. I'll try saving the diagram. There we go, uploading to SharePoint. The upload failed, but I do see updates available. So let me zoom in down here and notice this light text that says updates available. I'm going to click on that. And what Scott will discover, updates are being applied. He's going to look at this shape, and if we zoom in, you'll notice that there's a little comment balloon on that shape that wasn't there before. This is solely the result of Rebecca using her web browser to add a comment. So what does Scott do? Let me close the shape data window off to the side here. He can click on it, and her comment appears. Shouldn't this be a sub-process? Or if he is interested in seeing the comments pane on the side like the shape data window often appears, click the Review tab, click Comments Pane, and the comments pane will appear there. So it depends how frequently Scott expects to be commenting, whether he's going to open the pane and take up real estate on the side of his screen or not, his choice. In this case, Scott looks at her comment and says, oh, she's thinking about this diagram, asking whether this should be a sub-process. And you know, she's probably right. So maybe what he'd do is something like this. He's going to say to her something like this. ? And he's going to make a change. Now, a couple of things as I do this. One, if you've ever added comments in previous versions of Visio, you might find what I'm about to do a little unusual. I'm going to move this box and notice the comment moved with it. That doesn't seem revolutionary, perhaps, but if you have used previous versions of Visio, comments were actually attached to a page, to the page behind the shape, not to the shape itself. So if you move the shape, the comment just stayed where it was. So it was very easy to lose the context of comments in previous versions of Visio. Not in 2013, the comment is attached to the shape. If you want to attach a comment to the page, you can do that too. But the good news is, shape-related comments stay with the shapes. Now, what does Scott do? He says, okay, I think she's right. Let's make a sub-process out of this. So he selects these two shapes, that say place restocking order and process restocking order. And if you notice in the lower left corner of the diagram, before I click the button I'm about to, there is only one page in this diagram, page dash one. Keep that in mind. I'm now going to go to the process tab. This tab appears if you have Visio Professional. You will not see it if you have Visio Standard. And there are three buttons in the sub-process group on that tab. One, the two are grayed out. One says create new, if I just want to click that to create a new sub-process. One says link to an existing, so if I already have a sub-process defined on another page, I can link to it. In my case, I've selected a couple of shapes. I'm going to click create from selection. If you now look at the bottom of the screen, you'll see that there are two pages in this diagram. The two shapes that were on the previous page have been moved. The comment came with it. Notice the comment balloon is here. If I go back to page one, what we see there instead is a sub-process shape. So Visio did a bunch of things there. I selected a couple of shapes. I clicked a button. Visio took those shapes, added a page, pasted the shapes onto that page, added a sub-process shape back on the original page, and did one more thing, added a hyperlink on that sub-process shape that takes me to the new page. We can see that sub-process hyperlink. If you look at my zoomed-in image, you'll see the cursor has a little tiny globe chain-link hyperlink symbol attached to it when I hover over that shape. And if I control-click, it follows the hyperlink.
And it is a standard hyperlink that we potentially can use for creating a drill-down diagrams with the seven layers, right?
Absolutely. That's precisely the idea. So I've got a high-level process view, process overview, this sub-process shape. Click on the hyperlink, and it takes me to another page with a breakdown of that sub-process. There may be shapes on that page that, in turn, are sub-process shapes linked to other pages. So that drill-down is standard Visio hyperlinks that we're taking advantage of in the context of moving from page to page within the diagram. Now, I'm going to type text on this shape because I want to say, you know what, this sub-process really, page dash two, is not only boring but non-meaningful. So this is the restocking sub-process. So I'm just going to click on the shape and type restocking sub-process. So now we have a good sub-process. Meanwhile, what's happening over in Rebecca land? Well, let's save the changes and go back to, we're going to switch to the virtual machine that belongs to Rebecca. This is still Rebecca with her web browser view, but Rebecca is going to use the refresh button I alluded to earlier. She clicks, and the changes happen. The diagram is refreshing. And in just a matter of seconds, she will see the sub-process shape that's now on this page, and her diagram will contain two pages.
But this is at least the proof that we are doing everything live, right?
That's correct.
We're making mistakes, or any human being.
That's right. We've got live television here, so, or live video recording, or however you want to think about it. We're back to wait mode here. For some reason, the refresh is taking a little bit longer than normal. Usually, this refresh is very quick. But I tell you what, we'll let that diagram refresh. I'm going to go back to being Scott again while it's refreshing, and we're just going to do one or two other quick things. And that would include something like going to page two. And now that Scott has created a page for this sub-process, he's going to make some more space. So I'm going to resize the swim lanes, which is a very easy thing to do. And just drag the headings. I want more space in this swim lane because one of the things the inventory manager is going to do is decide what we need to do next. So process the restocking order involves a couple of other steps. There are going to be some decisions here. So I'm going to drop a decision shape. Notice I just dropped it on the line, and Visio took care of positioning it and separating what was one line into two lines. This might be to check inventory. So available in store, in another store. So if this is a retail chain, we're out of inventory in one store. Before we order from a warehouse, we're going to check to see whether we have inventory available in another store. If the answer is yes, then we would have a step over here to do something like move product from one store to another. So this might be the yes branch. If there is not inventory available in that same store, then the no branch would lead to perhaps another process step. So let's drop one here. Notice that the no branch is properly labeled, and this might be a step to order from the warehouse. So whatever the logic is behind the business process is what drives the changes Scott makes here, but I'm just showing you a couple of the things that Visio can do for me in terms of automatically sizing and rearranging and spacing. So that's the page as it looks now. Let's go back to Rebecca, and time has caught up. We have caught up with the refresh time. Notice that in Rebecca's browser view, she does now see this process. I clicked on it, and notice it automatically took me to page 2. How do I know there are 2 pages in this diagram? In the upper right corner of the screen, there is a drop-down for pages. So there was only a single page a moment ago. Now there are 2. So what else might Rebecca do? And by the way, she sees Scott's comment. If you look over on the right side of the screen, we do see that should this be a sub-process? Something like this. And now what Rebecca's thinking is let's take this one step further. Let's say Rebecca's comment is good start, but let me switch to Visio and make a change. So she enters that comment, and Scott, meanwhile, will be working back on his copy of Visio, and Rebecca is going to click the button that says Open in Visio. So the browser launches Visio. Visio contacts the server, in this case SharePoint Online, and opens the diagram in Visio. Just taking a moment to do that, and while we, let's minimize the web browser here. There we go, and we're loading that diagram. So now she's got the diagram open in Visio, and there's an important point I want you to see here down in the lower left-hand corner, and that is that Rebecca sees a little presence indicator, 2 little head and shoulders icons with a number 2 next to it. And if we hover over that, it says Scott Helmers is editing this document. So Rebecca, when she opens it, gets immediate feedback to say, hey, somebody else is working on this document. Let's go back to become Scott. And it may take a moment as it did before, so rather than wait for it specifically, I'll just describe for you that Scott will see the very same sort of thing. Scott will see the presence indicator appear at the bottom. He'll see the count of how many other people are working on this particular diagram. And if he hovers over it and clicks, he will see not only how many, but actually see who. And when he sees Rebecca, if he clicks on her name, he'll see ways to contact her. He'll see link presence indicators, link chat. He can click on the phone icon to call her. Her email address will also be available, so he can send her an email if he wants to. So multiple people co-authoring can legitimately work on the same document. And the good news is you don't have to do anything to prepare a document or prepare your copy of Visio or anything else for this sort of co-authoring experience. All you do is save it in SharePoint and open it. And when the second or third or fourth person opens, everybody's aware of who else is working on the diagram, and you're good to go. Now, there is more to it than that. We're not going to take time today to go into all of the different aspects of co-authoring. There are a series of small icons that appear on a shape when someone else is editing that shape, so we can actually see this shape is being affected by somebody else at this moment. There's even protection built in, so if I delete a shape and you're working on that same shape, there's a special icon that will appear on that shape so that you know somebody else is trying to delete this shape. And Visio's smart enough to say, you know, if Scott deleted the shape, but Rebecca has changed the text or moved the shape or made substantial changes to it, Scott will actually see that shape reappear when Rebecca saves her changes. So even though Scott actually deleted it and saved, when Rebecca saves her version of that shape, it will reappear. Now, one question I get frequently about co-authoring in Visio is there anything that prevents me, or can Scott prevent Rebecca from doing things in the diagram? And the answer to that, in general, with Visio 2013 is no. The idea on the Visio design team's part was anyone can do anything within the diagram. The odds of two people doing the same thing to the same shape at the same moment are small enough that we'll use the indicators to communicate about what kinds of things are going on, but there's not a way to prevent Rebecca from changing a shape that I'm also working on. But that's where the commenting also comes into play, because we can use that to communicate with each other in addition to the communication that Visio is providing. Now, if we take a look at the bottom of the screen, now Scott's status line has updated. He sees a comment that says updates available, and he also does see over in the lower left, when I click, I see Scott Helmers and Rebecca Laszlo, and let me hover over her, zoom in there for just a second, and you'll see that we do see that presence indication. So this is good communication. Now when he clicks updates available, any changes Rebecca has made will become obvious to him, and if we went back to Rebecca, we would see that her changes are, Scott's changes are now visible to her.
Thank you, Scott. That's amazing stuff. I hope that you learn a lot. At least I learn a lot.
Well, another thing to keep in mind, too, is that there is way more about sharing diagrams via SharePoint and co-authoring, commenting. There's a lot more than what we've touched on today. There's also, if we go back to the data roots of this part of this series, there's also a lot more about data to think about here, too. I didn't demonstrate live updates of the graphics in SharePoint, because you know what? There are a whole lot of videos out there on the web. If you search, you'll find a lot of Visio experts who've posted videos about Visio services and SharePoint. There are a lot of SharePoint experts who have done the same thing. So rather than take time doing that again here, look for videos online about Visio services, SharePoint, data refresh, data linking, data visualization. Those are some good sets of keywords to use. And I think you'll find a whole lot of really useful content.
And it would take not a couple hours for us to, you know, describe it all, but a couple weeks probably. So don't want to waste your time, just use a search.
That's right. And so with that in mind, let me give you a little bit of additional information. Places to go, in addition to just doing random searches of the sort I've described, there are a couple of particular blogs and a couple of particular sources of really good information about the kinds of things we've been talking about in part two. The list that you see on the screen at the moment is are some of my fellow Visio MVPs. John Marshall, the self-titled grandfather of the group, he was Visio MVP number one almost 20 years ago. His website, visio.mvps.org, is a wealth of historical information. There's a great page of Visual Basic programming tips and code samples. We'll be using those a lot in part three of this series. John Goldsmith, Michelle Laplan, David Parker, and Chris Roth are MVPs in the UK, France, the UK, and Germany, respectively. Their blogs are chock full of information and examples of data visualization, lots of SharePoint information, lots of just about everything I've talked about. So great sources there. And then finally, if you're interested in some nitty-gritty, a set of tools that you can use to poke around with Visio at the shape sheet level of the sort that we touched on a bit more today, take a look at this last website. Paul Heber makes a set of Visio super utilities available. There is a free trial, I know, and then there is a fee if you decide to keep using the utilities, but there are dozens, five, six dozen different utilities that he's built into this super utilities package. So it's a really terrific set of tools to arm yourself with when you want to get behind the scenes and poke around inside Visio. And finally, the pictures that you see on the screen are the books that I've worked on, either written or worked on for Microsoft Press. On the left, Visio 2013, step by step. On the right, the 2010 version of that book. And I also contributed a chapter on Visio and Visio services with SharePoint in the book titled Business Intelligence in Microsoft SharePoint 2013. If you have any questions after watching this session, please feel free to contact me, scott@visiostepbystep.com. I get emails periodically from people who've watched part one of this series, and I'm happy to answer questions, provide sample diagrams if anything I've used in part two of this series looks useful for you. If you'd like to play with it yourself, just send me an email, and I will be very happy to give you a download link to play with the documents yourselves.
But no more than 10 questions per person.
Nah, no limit. That's okay. If you're interested in information about the books or other things that I'm doing at the moment, visiostepbystep.com. I also spend a bit of time each week poking around in Twitter. My handle is vizprocess, @vizprocess. I post fairly frequently there tips and links to useful information about all things Visio.
Scott, one more time, thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing this information. We hope you enjoyed the course. It is the end of part two, but not the end of the series. So we'll come back and we'll share more about how to program Visio, how to make the tool do something for you without your specific movements or knowledge or activities.
That's right. It's very cool to be able to automate what Visio does.
Yeah, we appreciate your attention. Goodbye.
Thank you.